Well, welcome to ID the Future, the podcast of intelligent design and evolution. And I'm Ray Bolin, your host for today. And with me is Dr. Jonathan Wells, author of Icons of Evolution and Zombie Science. So, Dr. Wells, thank you for joining us today.
It's a pleasure, Ray.
Well, one of these issues of zombie science, let's just make sure we talk about that briefly again before we get too far into the appendix that we want to mention today. But what do you mean by zombie science again?
By zombie science, I mean materialistic philosophy masquerading as empirical science. So it's telling stories with a materialistic moral, as it were, that are actually contrary to the evidence. So they're not empirical science. In fact, they're quite the opposite. And despite the contrary evidence, they just keep on marching, and that's why I call them zombie ideas or zombie science.
Okay. Well, this idea of vestigial organs has been around for a long time, and I think you even introduced your time with the appendix by talking about how Darwin seemed to mention it. And it's been controversial a bit as to whether this vermiform appendix or the human appendix actually has any real function. Darwin certainly didn't think so. So run through it with us what Darwin said about it.
Well, he said it's a vestigial organ. It's useless. In fact, it's often harmful. When it becomes inflamed, it can kill people if it's not removed. And he argued, essentially, in a theological mode, saying that a designer would not have put a useless organ in the body. And natural selection would not do it either. So the fact that there are useless organs shows that evolution is unguided.
So these vestigial organs are supposed to be things that in some evolutionary past, they clearly had a function, but now, as with Darwin claimed with the human appendix, it no longer has a function, but it's still there and actually can sometimes become dangerous. So vestigial simply means it once had a function and now it's useless, correct?
In this case, yes.
Okay. Well, as you indicate, there are more recent studies that are starting to show quite clearly that our appendix does have some very important function.
Well, actually, studies going all the way back to the early 20th century, you know, not long after Darwin, half a century after Darwin, the evidence was showing that the appendix is not useless. It actually serves two functions. One is it shelters beneficial bacteria for people, especially in the undeveloped world, who suffer from severe diarrhea. The appendix protects beneficial bacteria from the effects of severe diarrhea. And so those beneficial bacteria can repopulate the intestines after the disease passes. And this is important because we depend on those bacteria to digest our food for us. Without them, we would starve. So that's one function. Another function, actually discovered before that, is that the appendix is part of the immune system. That is, the systems in the body that fight infections, like tonsils, for example, or lymph nodes. The appendix is one of those.
How does that really tie in? I mean, you did mention there are several other small organs that do have a part within the immune system. Some people, for instance, have to have their tonsils out because of repeated infections. But what exactly does that mean it's a part of the immune system?
Well, I had my tonsils out, by the way, when I was a child, because at the time they were thought to be vestigial or useless. But in fact, they are part of the immune system. The immune system basically identifies harmful organisms, harmful bacteria, harmful viruses, and targets them for destruction before they can cause serious infection. So that's how the immune system operates. It depends mostly on cells called lymphocytes, and the appendix has abundant lymphocytes.
Does the tissue in the appendix actually produce these lymphocytes, or they just reside there?
Well, it consists of a lot of lymphoid tissue. So, no, the lymphocytes do not originate in the appendix. The lymphocytes originate in the bone marrow, like other blood cells, but then they travel throughout the body to do their job of fighting infection.
Now, you quote several scientists recently who've been talking about all the uses for the appendix, the various functions it performs, but there are quite a few evolutionists who don't seem to like that very much, and they want to hold on to this idea of vestigial organs as an evidence for evolution. Could you kind of run through that for us a little bit?
Yes, there are science writers, there are textbooks who continue to push the falsehood that the appendix is useless, and they use that as an argument for evolution, the same way Darwin did. So there's quite a few people who argue that way, and they argue that way even though the evidence has shown for over a century that the appendix is not useless. That's zombie science.
Well, does it seem to me that simply because Darwin himself mentioned it as an evidence for his theory, that there will always be some who will be completely reluctant to indicate that Darwin got anything wrong? Does that seem to play into this?
Well, there is a certain hero worship in Darwin's case. He's put up on a pedestal. People say he's the greatest scientist who ever lived, which is utter nonsense. He actually prevailed not because of his science, but because he provided a materialistic creation story that suited the temper of the times in the 19th century. He did not provide evidence for his theory, as it turns out.
Well, there's one more evidence that sometimes gets used as evidence that humans, particularly, have animal ancestors, particularly animal ancestors that have tails, and that there are roaming around this idea that some humans can be born with a tail. In fact, you can even find some photos of that. So it sounds to me like more zombie science.
Well, again, that's used by some people as evidence for evolution. The idea is that our ancestors had tails. We still have genes for tails, which in itself is nonsense, but we still have genes for tails that are turned off. But sometimes, occasionally, the off switch gets damaged, and so a baby is born with a tail. But these are not real tails. The tail of a cat or a dog has vertebrae in it, has muscles, it can wag. The tails that are found in babies are actually just birth defects. In many cases, they're accompanied by other birth defects and are usually best dealt with by surgical intervention. They're not throwbacks to some tailed ancestor.
Well, there's even the distinction that some draw, I think, between a true tail, they call it, and I'm missing the other term. You probably remember what it is, but there's two different definitions of these human tails.
There are, but most people who actually work in the field and have to deal with those birth defects say that the distinction is meaningless and that none of the so-called tails on human babies are real tails, true tails.
Now, in the book, you actually provide us a good photo of a baby with a tail.
That's right. Well, I didn't make the photo, but a few years ago, a defender of evolution in a debate was using the tail as evidence for evolution and showed a photo of a baby with a very good-looking tail and said this is evidence for evolution. Well, it turned out that the photo had been created by a computer program called Photoshop. It was totally false. The guy didn't know it at the time, apparently, and apologized for it later, but he said it was no big deal. And this is sort of the attitude of zombie science. When the evidence runs against you, it's no big deal because the story's got to be true no matter what.
Mm. Sometimes it really does just make you shake your head. There are just some ideas that will not die, and hence the term zombie science, even in the face of quite extensive evidence to the contrary. So thank you again, Dr. Wells, for being with us today. Again, this is ID the Future, a podcast of evolution and intelligent design. And I'm Ray Bowen, your host, and thank you for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org and idthefuture.com.